Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with a guest named Robert Orlando, who's the president and director of Nexus Media, and he's working on a movie right now, and one of the main guests in that movie is my good friend Dr. Paul Kanger, who's been a guest on this program, Vocal Point, many times. And the movie is called The Divine Plan. Specifically, it's about the plan that President Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II had in order to bring freedom to the people of Poland. And that whole move on their part, that secret pact, if you will, set off a whole chain of events, which I think had a strong influence on the ending of the Cold War in a very positive direction to the free West. All right, so let's get right to it. Robert Orlando, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
And you make films for a living? That's your main livelihood and so forth?
I'm a writer also, but yes, I'm primarily a film writer-director.
All right, good. And you tell us about your own background.
So I'm a New York guy, northeastern guy, but I've had a production company. I come originally out of the indie filmmaking world in New York, combined that with the agency world, let's say a little bit of Madison Avenue, independent filmmaking put together, which forms Nexus Media, or informs Nexus Media. But from out of that production company and years of learning my trade, I started to get interested in doing independent projects on my own, which meant a few feature films and some other narrative films early. And of late, I've been in a string of documentaries, the last one being Silence Patton, which I have to plug, is doing pretty well on Amazon Prime right now, and now The Divine Plan, which we're hoping to release soon in June or July.
Wow. What's this last one you said, Silence Patton?
Silence Patton, which is interesting because it informs how I got to The Divine Plan, both from a relationship with Paul, but also because it's the bookends to the Cold War. Basically, when they failed to listen to General Patton's warning at the end of World War II, they left open all the mistakes in Eastern Europe that ultimately John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and others had to take care of. So turns out their bookends to the Cold War.
When you say Silence Patton, you mean, in other words, Silence, comma, Patton, like shut up, George Patton. Is that what you're saying? I mean, I don't understand the title.
I learned this only from doing the film, but a lot of Patton's men believe that he was assassinated at the end of the war because of the bizarre way he died in a car accident and then died ultimately in the hospital after surviving the most violent battles of World War II. So it was a way to raise the question of saying, during the war, they silenced his guns when the slapping incident in Italy. They silenced him on the battlefield. They kept pulling him back at key times in the battle and had to reinstate him to win the Battle of the Bulge. So there was all this silencing going on, and the question was raised, a little play on the word, if they silenced him during the battle, they silenced him politically, would they have silenced him for good? Ergo, Silence Patton.
Okay, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of, unanswered questions that are raised in the book Killing Patton that Bill O'Reilly did with Martin Dugard. So, you know, I think that sounds interesting. I'll look forward to seeing that. I can find that on Netflix, even?
Sure. I could follow up.
Great. Okay, good. Yep. Now, The Divine Plan, tell us about that.
So all of these projects, let's say the documentaries in particular, seem for me to start with very deep questions that I've either not received a satisfactory answer to, or just I want to know more or dig deeper on them. And in the case of, like I said, with Silence Patton, it was Patton right? Was he prophetic in what he was warning? In the case of The Divine Plan, I thought to myself, I've heard a lot of skepticism about how much of this is really divine and how much of this is political or religious. You know, the a lot of eye rolling depending on what your political stance is. And I had to find out once and for all, like, was there something really behind this? What was the real case of a divine? Can you say that these men were inspired and they worked together on some level to achieve the falling of the Soviet, you know, the Berlin Wall and ultimately the Soviet Empire, for now at least? So when I started digging in more and more, I realized that, first of all, this goes back to Carl Bernstein of Watergate fame, who wrote an article in Time magazine called The Holy Alliance, where he claimed all of this. I mean, we went and fleshed out the story. We went deeper into the faith side and other things. But, I mean, he kind of hammered out that these two were really convicted from their faith and got together to directly and intentionally bring down the Soviet Union. So I started just with that and then started unpacking it. When I worked with Paul Kengor on Silence Patton, he and I did a Reagan event together, and then we followed up at one point, and I saw him do a talk on the book The Pope and the President, and all these things converged on me to say, wait a second, there's something really here that people are not really putting together into a story, and I'm going to keep digging on that. And what I really found out was that the faith aspect of the story is the key piece. Mm-hmm. Because once the two men are assassinated, they meet in Rome a year later and both say to each other privately that they believe, even though they both had faith prior to the assassination attempts, that they both believe they were spared for the purpose of bringing down the Soviet Union. So it was a way, even for someone like John Paul II, to completely galvanize the mission later in life and say, all I'm living for from this point forward is this mission. Mm. And they agree that that's how they would both live out their life.
Yeah, I can't help but think of one of the remarks that Dr. Kengor made on this very radio program about a year and a half ago or something like that when I first interviewed him about his new book. Then it was new, about a Pope and a President. And he said, you know, this is kind of an ecumenical story here, Jerry. He said, I'm a Catholic. You're an evangelical. We're broadcasting from a radio program, ultimately a radio station, ultimately founded by the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, an evangelical minister, Presbyterian. The first story about this major story was by an agnostic Jew. That would be Bernstein, you know. And then, you know, dealing with, Ronald Reagan, who was a devout Presbyterian, and, of course, the Pope was a strong Catholic. So there is an ecumenical thing. But the bottom line is that both Pope John Paul II and Ronald Reagan were committed to freedom, and they were opposed to communism. And they knew what the Soviet Union was doing and how degrading it was and how many people, well, nobody knows how many people they murdered, but they did murder so many in cold blood. When the true story gets out, and, you know, unfortunately the liberal mindset doesn't want to know the true story, but anybody can read it for themselves in the Black Book of Communism. But I think it's almost as if the American people, though, need to be educated on how evil the Soviet Union was. Reagan called it the evil empire. What are your thoughts?
Just to take a little step back. So Paul, in his book, which was incredibly ambitious to cover the entire 20th century in that character arc back from the Lady of Fatima all the way up to modern day, was very ambitious in that he was doing an epic tale of how the rise and the fall of communism. What we did in our book, because Paul and I are also writing a book right now, which is coming out on Father's Day, called The Divine Plan, and it was us doing a deeper dive into the whys. So why would Ronald Reagan and John Paul II have enough in common? What was the origins of their faith? What did it really mean to them? Like, for instance, you just brought it up, and you use different language than I would, but I think the dignity of human beings, the dignity of man, was something that they would be willing to die for. And they may interpret it differently, and they may have different filters by which they would express that meaning, a Catholic or an evangelical or a Presbyterian. But they suffered for the dignity of man. They felt like at any price. And I believe they spoke that way and believed that way, one, because of their faith and knowledge of God, but also because they both were children of war. So they really saw the dark side. When people don't think that way, when statism rises too high or the left goes too far, the left and collectivism, like they knew what that looked like. They saw the original show. They didn't need to see the sequel. So as communism kept sliding in the same extremities over time, they had their lessons learned and they were going to fight it, and they didn't care. And then on another, just on a human level, I call it Christian humanism, but that's how others refer to John Paul II's thinking, was that in the subjectivity, this is God's world. This is not a world we forsake. It's a world we redeem. And that kind of confidence, that worldview of making even a humanism informed by Christian ideas and Christian principles, to me is like a gargantuan idea, but it does unify because it brings together so many different people in the name of human dignity. And I think those things are kind of what caught fire for both of them as leaders.
Or, as far as Reagan is concerned, how was he a child of war directly?
Well, he was, you know, he couldn't serve in World War II, but he made hundreds of films during World War II, so he saw what the Nazis did. He actually stole a film reel from the war and had it in his house, and he kept it in his life, and he said, when my children get old enough, I want to show it to them, to show them what an atheistic Nazi regime does to people, what this really means when you don't fight for your freedom. So he had a taste of war. And then he also, after the war, the country was tipping and leaning to the left, and you did find that the Red Scare was not made up.
Yeah.
The Red Scare was for real, and he watched while he ran, when he fought against the unions in Hollywood, he started to get a taste of communism up front, and they said, we'll throw acid in your face, and
yeah.
He had to sleep with a Smith & Wesson for a while while he was the head of the union in Hollywood. So he had his fair share way before he made this decision later in life. I just think the clarion call was the assassination attempts, and both of them were within 6 weeks of one another, which makes it a bit bizarre, maybe designed by design.
So in March 1981, they almost killed Reagan, and then just within 6 weeks, the Pope was almost
May 13th, they almost killed John Paul II.
That is amazing.
And both of them lost half the blood in their bodies. They should have died.
Oh, wow. All right, well, let me just take a moment. For 90 seconds, we're going to hear the audio of the trailer for your new movie, The Divine Plan.
When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Pope John Paul II is a dagger aimed right at the throat of the Soviet Union.
A desperate time.
Other American presidents tried to figure out how to manage the Cold War. Wait, Reagan wanted to win the Cold War.
A world divided by superpowers.
When a government abuses the rights of its own people, it is a grim indication of its willingness to commit violence against others.
The real big battle of the 20th century was between the forces of good versus the forces of evil.
Two boys raised during violent times, who would become a president and a pope.
Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
The last voice you heard on that little trailer was Dr. Paul Kanger. He's a professor at Grove City College. Why don't you talk about him a little bit here, and how does he fit into The Divine Plan? I mean, that is the movie, The Divine Plan.
First and foremost, I think of Paul as a brother, but our formal meeting was he was on my film Silence Patton as kind of the Cold War expert, or the person who brought the other perspective
Super.
To it. But I'm just amazed by Dr. Kanger's work, because he does something that's very simple. He just fills in the grand tapestry of history. People tend to just avoid the faith piece. So I find him, it's a real simple approach. He's like looking into people's faith, and he's starting with the factor that faith informs people's lives and their actions. And so he digs a little deeper, and he just finds what no one cares to look for. And this goes on and on. He's written numerous books. I think if you go back to all his books on Reagan going way back, each one is doing the same thing. It's just shining light in a place of shadow, because no one bothers to go look at it. Mm-hmm. I think in The Pope and the President, I saw him do the same thing again. He started connecting dots, and I said, well, I didn't know that. I never heard of that. Why didn't anyone else say that? And what you realize is that as you start to get more thorough in the research, he's just coalescing what is, it's kind of like a little bit here in this author, a little bit here in this biographer, but the secular point of view doesn't do it. In the case of this story, George Weigel, who's the Pope's biographer, who's in the film too, he said the way the Pope, I forgot exactly how it goes, but something like, if you want to understand John Paul II, you have to understand him from the inside out. And I think most historians try to understand that John Paul II, but the Divine Plan story and Ronald Reagan, from the outside in. They try and go from the political, the material, to some other identity, and you can't do that with people of faith, because there's an internal a design inside themselves that they're experiencing, and their life is being lived from the inside out. And that's what the film does. It says, let's go in the inside, and then we'll work our way back out to circumstances in the real world.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Robert Orlando. TheDivinePlanMovie.com for more information. Thank you, Robert. All
thank
the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Sure.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.